with the religious world. Of course, I contend they do not understand what the verse of Scripture is teaching. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I want to read that again, and I just want to leave out "the world," and then maybe we can begin to understand Jesus' ministry of love. And we'll, Lord willing, we have time, we'll come back to that word, or words, "the world." "For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then there's a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Jesus had this to say. He said, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus said he didn't come to be ministered unto, he came to minister. Amen. He came to minister the love of God and of himself to his people. So we preach to you then on that subject, Jesus' ministry of love. There's a passage of Scripture in the book of James chapter 3, I believe it's verse 2, where it says, "He that offendeth not in word is a perfect man." I'm not perfect. And I know that maybe it will offend some about what we will preach this morning. It is not my intention to offend, but I am bound to preach the truth of the Word of God. Amen. I must preach the Word of God, because in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, and maybe every one of us ought to underline this passage of Scripture. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." Amen. Pastors, you've been charged with the watch care of the souls of the members of that church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe it would do us all good to take to heart that portion that says, "And they must give account." They must give account. I take that very seriously. I know from the Word of God that we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an account for what we preach and what we taught, as well as how we conducted ourselves here in this life. Now, I know as well as you know that in the book of Revelation, there's a great white throne set up, and the multitudes of the wicked are going to be judged. And the Word of God says they're going to be judged out of the books. Amen. I've got some news for you, Christian. You're going to be judged out of the books at the judgment seat of Christ. Not for sin, but for reward or loss of reward. God help us to be faithful obedient and loyal to the Word of God and to His church. In studying my subject, I have encountered a lot of difficulty. Not the least of which is how this sovereign God, and thank you, brother, you nailed the lid down for me. You can't say He's God and not mean that He's sovereign.
Amen.
In all things. How can God, or why should God love any of mankind? Give me one reason why God should love any man. Surely His love for some had to originate back in eternity.
Amen.
Because there's no man done anything to merit that love. There's no righteousness, no goodness. And I suspect even we that are saved, I know it so. The only goodness of righteousness we have or we do is because of the grace of God and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us.
Yes. Amen.
I know you've heard and I've heard, but I like the record set straight. You've heard and I've heard that God loves everybody. For God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son to whosoever believeth. To whosoever believeth. Anybody that tries to make God love anyone other than those whosoever believeth is wrong. And here lately, and this has surprised me somewhat in the last few years, that I've come to hear other things concerning God's love, that He has a love for everyone, but He has a covenant love for the elect, and rest of love for all the rest of mankind. You believe that? God, to me, and what I can gain from scriptures, has one love.
Amen.
There's not anything less about God. He doesn't have a lesser love. He doesn't have a greater love. He has a love. The Word of God says God is love. There is no other love with God. I believe it's dishonoring for someone to say that this God who you spoke of as being sovereign has a lesser anything. Now I've heard others, or heard about others that speak of God having a special love, or a love greater for some of the elect than He has for others. The scripture speaks of God loving John, the apostle. And folks, insert in there, in that verse of scripture, special. And that's not what it says. It says God loved John. God loved you. God loved you. God loved you if you're saved. or if you're one of us left. God also said he loved Mary and Martha. But he doesn't say that he loved them more or less. The same with Lazarus. God has a love because God is love, and he has a love for his people. And as much as it might be distasteful to some, with God there is a love for all of the elect and a hatred for all the rest.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
If God hated just one, then he doesn't love everybody. It can't be. And if God loved everybody, and everybody is not saved, and everybody doesn't go to heaven, but many go to hell, does it mean that God stopped loving them? If it did, then the Bible is not right, because it says God is immutable.
Amen.
God never changes. He cannot change because he's God. I have earnestly and prayerfully searched the Word of God to try to find any justification for any of these theories concerning the love of God. And I cannot. And the reason I cannot, folks, is because it's not there. It's not there. Jesus came into this world on a mission to proclaim the love of God for his elect people. In John, let me read this passage of scripture before we go any further. In John 17, and verse 23, and you think about, and you let your mind dwell on what the Word of God is saying in verse 23. Jesus, in praying to his Father, he said, I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. Love them as thou hast loved me. Anybody see any degrees of love there? A lesser or greater? Or anything in between? I say not so. Jesus himself said that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Let me get back to our subject. In 1 John chapter 4, as we preach on Jesus' ministry of love, I said that Jesus came to proclaim the love of God for people. His people. The people the Father had given him back in eternity. In 1 John 4 and verse 9 and 10, it says, and this was manifested It has been made apparent. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. You cannot take us and make it mean everybody. Towards us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And then in verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a satisfaction, an appeasement to God, a propitiation for our sins. I'd like to take some scriptures, examples of Jesus' ministry of love to those that the Father gave Him. And the first one is found in John chapter 5 and at verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. It means house or place of mercy, doesn't it? Having five porches. In these, and you listen to me, folks. In these lay a great multitude of infant folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the Lord. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And verse 5, and a certain, a certain man was there. Remember now, there's a great multitude around this pool. Infinite, all manner of disease, sickness. They're all there. They're all waiting for the angel to come. Jesus came, and it says that a certain man was there. Out of that great multitude, a certain man which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The infant man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. I beloved everybody, why did he say that to all those folks gathered there around that pool?
That's right.
In fact, I can't even find in those verses of Scripture that he showed any concern. For those others. There was one man there. He was ordained to be there and from eternity. And Jesus was to pass that way. There was one of his elect ones there. And he revealed to him the love of the Father for him. And in him. No man knows the love of God until first there be a preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in quickening that lost soul, making that soul alive. One man, God loved him. He's always had loved him. And Jesus Christ came on that mission to save that poor, wretched, impotent soul that was there at the pool of Bethesda. Everybody knows about Zacchaeus in Luke 19. In Luke 19 and verse 8 it says, and Zacchaeus stood, you remember this crowd, he could hear them coming, multitude of folks. And Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree because he was like some of us. Right, Brother Harry? Amen. Climbed up in a tree so that he might see Jesus when he passed by. Zacchaeus was one of the happiest people in the world that day. Because it says that Jesus didn't pass him by. He stopped and said, Zacchaeus, come down. For I'm going to your house. Yeah. That's the way of the love of God to everyone who hears this blessed gospel proclaimed. Amen. And the blessed Holy Spirit works a miracle like no other miracle. Takes a dead soul and gives it life. And reveals to that soul. Let me just ask you something. Is there anyone here that can express in words the love of God?
No.
But you can know it and you can feel it.
Amen.
And know the love of God.
Amen.
Zacchaeus experienced that on that day just like this preacher boy did. A number of years ago. So Zacchaeus come down. And here's what a lot of folks, I'm afraid, don't get. It says, and when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. That's the religious world. And Zacchaeus stood, and listened to me, Christians. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. There's a real conversion. We hear folks talk about they're saved and you don't ever see any change in their life. Everyone that is truly saved, there has been a change.
Amen.
I'm afraid there's a lot of folks that's deceived, like much of the world is deceived, and saying, well, I've been born again. And the only thing that changed about them was their clothes. Brother, there must be more of a change.
Amen.
When the love of God comes into the heart and the soul of one of God's elect ones, brother, there's a change that takes place.
Amen.
They have a love now they never experienced before, never could experience.
Amen.
Until God saved them. And much of, in fact, all of that which they used to indulge in, all of that that they desired before, they have a hatred for now.
Amen.
That's the love of God. That's the love that Jesus Christ came on a mission to proclaim. And the only ones that ever received it is those ones that the Father gave him. One of those things you don't accept, you receive. Let me give you one other example. I think we got about 4 minutes. A young woman in John 8. That everybody condemned. In John 8 verse 4. They brought this woman before the Lord. And they say to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? They said, attempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto him, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and when they heard, didn't see what he wrote, says they heard. And they which heard, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until the last, and Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. No man, Lord.
Amen.
There was a change that took place in her life in that moment of time. The world had condemned her. You ought to be taken out and stoned. But you see, God had set his love upon her back there in eternity. Wicked. Who was it preached on? Wicked. She was. Wicked we are.
Amen.
No more guilty than we that are here. The difference was God loved her. The difference was Jesus Christ was there. I don't know what he wrote on the sand, and I suspect there's not anyone else here that does. But whatever it was, it had an effect on her. And it sure condemned that multitude. But I don't find anywhere where his love was made apparent to those ones that drugged that woman before him. Jesus came on a ministry of love to his people. That ministry is still going on.
Amen.
Through his advocate, the Holy Spirit. And I say to you this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, you can know this love.
Amen.
You can know this love.
Amen.
This love of God, this love of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
for his people.
Amen.
He's always loving. He always will love.
Yes.
And everyone that he set his love upon shall be saved.
Yes.
And shall be, can't be any other way, because he's God.
Right.
And for those that still believe that the world means everybody, why did not the Lord pray for everybody? He said he prayed for those that the Father had given him out of the world.
That's right.
But I pray not for the world.
That's right.
But for those that thou hast given me out of the world.
Amen.
So I say to you this morning, are you one of those? Are you one of those? Oh, know this love.
Amen.
It's the greatest blessing any man, any woman.